You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with myself, Mark Walton, Rory DeLaghi and Mick Norton in the studio. It's Southall on the Fibresand domestically on Sunday. We also have two meetings over in Ireland, one from Fairy House and one from Tramore should they pass an inspection on Saturday afternoon. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yep, pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Your man's having a good time with things at the moment.
Yeah, we had a nice winner on Wednesday at Kempton Old Isis Blue, won pretty nicely, and we had our only hurdler, ran a pretty nice race, finished third at Henderson, so that was a good day for all concerned.
Yeah, success in both codes.
Exactly. I'd say we've only got one hurdler, but he is quite a nice horse, Starvin Marvin, and he did 4 years off the track. He's had a lot of injuries, and it was nice to see him get on the track, because obviously he's missed so much time off, and B, ran a pretty good race, because finished third in a Henderson novice hurdle, and the horse he finished upside was right at 100 on the flat, one of JP McManus's that was very well backed for Alan King, and I think he'll definitely be winning hurdle races if we can keep him sound.
But have you got any plans in place for him yet?
The weather is probably going to be key, because I think he's going to be a cold spell coming, and they're either waterlogged or perhaps going to be frozen in the coming weeks. There's another race at Huntingdon for him, I think in a month's time, which is the aim. But the problem is, if we do get a few meetings off, the races will get very, very competitive because of a shortage of options. So, like I say, I think he's definitely capable of winning races, because he's going to strip that much fitter again on his third run after such a long absence. But looking forward to seeing him back on the track.
Yeah. You were quite positive about the chances of them both on Twitter beforehand. Is there any other horse up your sleeve that you think will run well coming up?
Cotton Club runs an amateur race at Kempton on Wednesday. My brother takes the ride, and he was a good second at Lingfield in a class 2 just before New Year's Day, and he's down into class 4 company, an amateur race, and my brother, while he struggled against the professionals, against the amateurs, he's not so bad, so he could actually be a positive. He's won in him before as well, so he could be a nice each way price, I suppose. I think Godolphin have got one in the race, so he could be at a bigger price than expected, but he should be there or thereabouts. But like I said, the old man, he's only got 6 in training at the moment for the winter. He's generally very quiet, but the team are in pretty good form, so I wouldn't put you off following any of our runners.
All right. You just mentioned your brother there while we're on the subject of jockeys. Sylvester D'Souza and Tom Marquand, having a good time of things overseas at the moment.
Exactly. And like I say, generally the top jockeys in the UK spend the winter abroad somewhere. Most of them are in Dubai, but a couple that are elsewhere are champions from last year. Sylvester D'Souza, obviously, he won the British Championship, and he went to America in December for a month. Things were a little bit difficult there. He struggled to get up rides. I think he got a couple of winners. But his first ride in Hong Kong, or first day's ride, and saw him have a winner at Sha Tin. And like I say, Sylvester's a very, very talented rider. Very competitive out in Hong Kong. And the fact he managed to get a winner on the board in day one will be a big thing for him. I think he's having a bit of a short spell out there, and hopefully he's going to try and pick up some rides for Dubai. But he's just shown his talents. And the apprentice of the year, Tom Marquand, who is only 17 years old, and he had his first ride just over a year ago. He really lit up the racing scene last year for Richard Hannon and all the other trainers he rode for, and was nominated for Britain's Young Sports Personality of the Year. He was in the top 3, and his first ride in Australia was a winner, and it was for Shadwell as well. So getting a nice win for a big owner, and he only flew out there on Thursday. A lot of people get a bit of jet lag. They have to take a few days to recover, but he was straight in the saddle the next day, and he gave it a very, very good ride. Oisin Murphy and Kieran Schumark have had successful stints in Australia in recent seasons, and I think he could be set for another one, and I think he could be a big name for the future, because, like I say, he's only 17. Everything seems to be coming very easy for him at the moment, and as long as he can keep going when he loses his claim, I think he could be a real talent.
Yeah, one other bit of news as well, just to touch on before we get stuck into Sunday's racing. The Irish Champion Hurdle could be pretty special. Willie Mullins has revealed that Faugheen could take on Nicholas Canyon again, and Arctic Fire could also be in the lineup. And What a race that'll be to look forward to.
Exactly. It'd be nice to see the women's horses taking each other on before Cheltenham. And the thing with those two horses is that both horses like the front run.
Yeah.
Both horses are different owners. You'd imagine Ruby obviously will be on Forheen, but both owners are going to say to Willie, I want my horse to make the running. And which one does? It could be very, very interesting. Because
do you think it was tactics that
well, Forheen's made the running generally every time he runs, and they thought, well, we'll take a lead off Nicholas Canyon. And the work the week before, I would imagine Nicholas Canyon gave Forheen a lead and just whizzed by. But in the race itself, that's not what happened. And Danny Mullins gave Nicholas Canyon a great ride, kicked at exactly the right time. And it just got Forheen off the bridle a little bit, and he couldn't pick him up. And we saw when he went to Kempton, Forheen back in front, everything having his own way. It worked out well, but
he was much fitter at Kempton, though, as well, wasn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. So a lot of the Richie horses, Cheltenham is the aim, and they're all going to improve a lot. Vautour, he improved immensely. I know he got beaten at King George, but it was a much better effort than when he made his return at Kempton, at Ascot, sorry. And they make no secret, they peak at Cheltenham, and that's in March. You don't want him 100% fit in November, December. So, yes, he will be fitter, and he probably is the better horse. But I think Nicholas Canyon, 5 grade ones, I think he's won already. And he's just a little bit overlooked because he's not as flashy as Forheen, but he gets the job done. Mm. And he was a very good flat horse for John Gosden. A lot of talent there. And it's great to see him against each other before Cheltenham. And I look forward to it.
Those three are the front three in the betting for the Champion Hurdle in March as well. Forheen 4-7, Nicholas Canyon 11-2, Arctic Fire 8-1.
You might as well call it the Willie Mullins hurdle. Get rid of the champion.
It'd be interesting, should Nicholas Cunningham come out on top again, what that would do to the champion hurdle market.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it'd be a fascinating race to watch. Probably not betting purposes for that race, just because we're really unsure what the pace angle's going to be and exactly how much below par Forheen was when he got beat by Nicholas Cunningham on that return. So it's going to be an absolutely fascinating race. And it would be great if we get a bit of rivalry, because it's great seeing the superstars demolish the opposition, but it's a little bit boring when you know they're not going to get beat. And we're having a lot of Willie Mullins, 4-1, 5-1 on shots. And it'd just be nice if you actually got a few champions against each other rather than just seeing one horse dominate the opposition. And I'd say for me, the best jumping times when we had Flagit, Uberales, Azertioff, Moscow Flyer, when you had the three upsides over the last and stuff. And it's just getting a little bit tedious, a little bit. Nothing Willie Mullins can do. He's got the best horses and he does the best job with them. But it's just, you'd like to see a little bit more competition around.
Yeah. Similar story, I suppose, with Underso in the champion chase market. He's obviously quite a warm favourite. And he's looking like he's going to meet Side of Grugy and possibly Sprint of Sacra as well in the Clarence House. So
that's going to be a cracking race. And at least with Underso, well, unfortunately for Underso, the obstacles at the moment are his main issue.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure he was 100% going to actually win that race when he came down at the Christmas period, because he was very keen early on. Didn't jump anywhere near as well as he had at Cheltenham. And Willie Mullins expressed his concern, I think, to the owner after the first couple of fences that it all might not go well. And yes, he probably would have won. But we've got two horses that are back to their best. Well, not back to their best. Back in very good form. Sprint of Sacra and Side of Grugy. He gave an absolutely cracking finish in the Desert Orca Chase at Kempton over the Christmas period. And I'll say, that's what we want in jump racing. We want to have three horses which you can give very live chances and not have a bit of a procession as such. And I'll say, with Underso, even if he demolished them there, you're never going to be 100% sure he's going to get around at Cheltenham. So I'll say we've got lots to look forward to.
Yeah, it's always in your back of your mind. If he jumps around, he probably wins. Yeah. But there's always that little bit.
A little bit like Moscow Flyer himself, yeah, who used to be 1-1-U, 1-1-U, and it was a trend that he had. But I'll say just a little bit more excitement.
All that to look forward to over the coming weeks, but let's leave that there and get stuck into Sunday's action. James has got four races to look at for Sunday, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, let's get stuck into Sunday then. The first race we look at is the 12:40 at Southwell. This is a Class 6 handicap over 6 furlongs, a field of 10 to go to post here. This, by the way, is the money-back second race on Sunday. So if your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet up to £25. And a couple of in-form runners here, James. The likes of 14 Brass and Spacetown Kid come here in winning form.
Yeah, an interesting little race. And Gary Catewell's got a bit of an interest in Missy Barakam, and she's in this race as well. But Anne Stokel, she's had a good start to the year. She had a win with Spacetown Kid 8 days ago over course and distance here at Sunny Savile. And a 25-1 shot on that occasion. She definitely won't be that price tomorrow. And I think he's got a good chance because he was rated a little bit higher than this in the past. And Anne's horses are actually in very, very good form. So I would probably be interested in Spate Stands Kid, who doesn't win that often. But on his day, he's very consistent and in form. Still six is ideal. You don't want to be stuck on the inside at several over six furlongs. And I think that Anne could get another winner on the board for 2016. Like you say, Fortin Brass is another one that's in good form. He won 5 days ago at Seville, again over course and since being Arizona Snow by 2.25 lengths. He's under a 6-pound penalty. And while that wouldn't have stopped him last time, I think this is a slightly stronger race, to be honest. And he might just come up short against Spate Stands Kid. Leithbridge, another one that's pretty consistent. He's only had runs in maiden company, but he's had 3/3 and a fifth. He makes his handicap debut for Mark at 60. Ocean Murphy is an interesting jockey booking for Mark Asher's runner, and that could be dangerous. And Lucky Mark, who was second to Spate Stands Kid, I'm sure John Bolden will be hoping he could perhaps reverse the form of Anne's runner. But in a competitive little opener, I think Spate Stands Kid can give Anne Stokel another winner in 2016.
Spate Stands Kid then for James in the 12:40 at Southwell. Staying at Southwell for their 2:10 next. And this one is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. Field of 9 to go to post here. And we'll start with Boo Last, James, who got off the mark at the 7th time of asking when winning a maiden over this course and distance last time. Obviously, this will be tougher, but she arrives here in decent enough form.
Exactly. Nice to get off the mark. She was 11-10 on that occasion in a maiden here at Southwell. Over course and distance, she won by 3.25 lengths. It's the first time she dropped back to 6 furlongs. Her previous 5 runs have been at 7 furlong and a mile, and that may well have been the signal of improvement. So, while she had got beat in a handicap debut off 66, only finished 5th in a handicap here at Seville over 7 furlongs, the drop back and trip might well be the key for Boo Last. And a good jockey booking, Callum Shepherd's a jockey that's impressed me in recent weeks, or all of last season, really. He could be one of the apprentice finds as such of 2016. I think he can rack up a fair few winners, and he's just getting rocking and rolling already. 2 winners in 2016. A good start to the season. He's a light kid. He does 7 stone 10, and his £5 claim could certainly help Boo Last in his second handicap opportunity. Oh, the Arizan's actually got another one in this one. Bapak Bangsawan, who won here over 5 furlongs, 2 starts back. Just struggled off the £3 higher mark when only 5th behind Crossfire. And generally you'd say he's better over 5 furlongs, so 6 furlongs could just stretch him. But you could rule him out. Elusivity, consistent for Conor Doerr. Just dropping in a handicap a little bit. He's a bit better treated than what he was. He was 79 6 runs ago. He runs for 72. And Conor does very well with similar types. His 3rd in a claim at Chelmsford the other day. So he'd be dangerous. AlphaTauri, multiple course distance winner. He could be another one that could run well at a price. But like I say, I'm going to stick with Boo Last for Brian Anderson and Callum Shepherd. I think she can gain some confidence from that maiden victory here 26 days ago. And she can follow up over course and distance.
Boo Last for James then in the 2:10 at Southwell. On to the 2:20 at Fairy House next. This one is the Danmore Memorial Handicap Chase. It's a Grade A contest over 2 miles and 1 furlong. A field of 11 for this year's renewal, James. And we'll start here with Clarkham, who is a dual Grade 1 winner as a novice chaser. Hasn't won, though, since 2014 now. So is this a good chance for him to get back to winning ways?
Yeah, definitely. A really competitive handicap, as you'd imagine, for 100 grand. And we've got some real useful individuals that generally ply their trade in Grade A races, not handicap company in Clarkham, like you say. Just been coming slightly short in these races recently this season. He was a little bit disappointing, I thought, behind Fleming Star at Leopardstown the other day. He was beaten 26 lengths in a race where, with Underso hitting the deck, you thought he could have been one that could pick up the pieces. So I don't know if he's in quite as good a form this year as what he was last year. So that would be a little bit of concern off top weight. And it's the other kicking sound horse that I'm going to put up, and that's Bright New Dawn, the other Gordon Elliott runner, with Jack Kennedy on board. Jack Kennedy, one of the big names coming through the ranks, and his £5 claim could be key because that takes him down to 11 stones. So he'll be getting £10 from Clarkham. His last 2 efforts have been pretty decent. Second to Rota Richards at Clonmel in similar conditions, and then second to Felix Younger at Navan. So that was 2 really good efforts. Back in the handicap company off 1.48 with Jack's £5 claim, I think could be key. And for me, he's the best of the 3 Giggenstown representatives. Mozdoff has been disappointing recently, the Willie Mullins runner, and he perhaps needs to improve on what we've seen recently. One that could be interesting is a JP McManus horse, Nearly Enamoured, who won a handicap of 1.27 at Fairy House. He goes up £7 for Sandra Hughes, but this is a big step up in grade against some real useful chasers. He needs to progress again, but 10 stone 5 on very, very soft ground, it could be a nice handy weight for him to have. So I think he is definitely a danger to the Giggenstown runners although Goddard Pete, another Sandra Hughes runner, could be interesting under Nina Carberry. Again, this one makes its handicap debut of offences, and he's another one that's interesting. But I'm going to stick with the Gingstown runner, Bright New Dawn, the white cap, although it's the second string. It's their lucky colours as such. They quite like the white cap, and they have a lot of winners in the second string colours. And like I say, I think Jack Kennedy's £5 claim could be pretty crucial. So Bright New Dawn will be the section in what looks to be a cracking 100 grand chase at Fairy House.
Bright New Dawn then for James in the 220 at Fairy House. And we finish off in the 240 at Southwell. This one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. Only seven of them in the lineup here, James. But it's quite a competitive race.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting little race because we've got a couple, several specialists in this. And just looking at them, only Cordite is the only one not to have won over course and distance. And a real cracking contest. Old favourite, Dubai Hills, the old Fibersand Master. He's 10 years old now, just looks to be underway a little bit. But a much better effort when third off today's mark of 87 behind Ian's Memory here 19 days ago. And he is interesting, but we've got a couple of improvers. Zeem, he won by 5 lengths 8 days ago. Unfortunately, handicap is taking revenge. He's up £10 to a mark of 90 for Ivan Furtado. Justin Newman again takes off £5. But that might just stop him in this contest. Captain Lars, he won a claimer at Seville by 7 lengths. Won really nicely, to be honest. And I thought he was putting in very, very cheaply. He was only in for £5 grand, Captain Lars. And I think they may have let him go a little bit cheaply. Michael Bell stable. He's now with Derek Shaw. He's only had him 8 days, so he would have just ticked him over. Not really done any much difference to their training regime. So in the form he's in, 2 wins. His confidence could be sky high. He was rated pretty high in his younger days. He was originally 102 when he ran at Maidan back in January of 2015. And dropped a fair bit in the weights, a bit of confidence back in Plate and Company, back in the handicap. He could be dangerous. Obviously, Mick Appleby's always got to be feared here at Seville, and he's got two runners. Philbert won his last three here at Seville of 65, 74, 82. He's up £5 to 87. Ali Robinson put up some overweight last time, so he won't be too badly treated, but he only won by a head and had quite a hard race when he won here on the 5th, just 5 days ago. So that could be a little bit of a question mark there, again, in a very competitive contest. Cordite, disappointed last time out when well behind Ian's Memory, but Andrew Mullen retains a ride in him, so he could bounce back. And Boots and Spurs won here back in December. Not quite so good at Chelmsford last time, but he's another one that's pretty dangerous. So a really cracking competitive contest, but I'm going to go for Captain Lars to get some confidence back from his selling wins, and perhaps he can make his mark on first start for Derek Shaw.
Captain Lars in the selection for James in the 240 at Southwell. As usual, James, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you've been through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, we've got Speightstown Kid to give Ann Stokel another winner in the 1240 at Southwell. In the 210, we've gone for Boulas, the horse that won a maiden here, of course, since last time out. I think Callum Shepherd could be the key and 6 furlongs, so that can follow up. In the big race at Fairy House, we've gone for the second string for the Kingstown team. Bright New Dawn, ridden by Jack Kennedy. I think that £5 claim could be crucial. And then finally, in the 240, we've gone for Captain Lars, who can get the hat-trick up, backing Handicap Company on first start for Derek Shaw.
Superb. Good work, James. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. It's myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Rory Delaghi and Mick Norton. And the meetings on Sunday come from Southall on the domestic front, and 2 meetings in Ireland, Fairy House and Tramore, should Tramore pass a 2 p.m. inspection on Saturday afternoon. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.